Intellectual Intimacy, the podcast. This is your host, Cabrina McLean. Join me as I have deep and provocative conversations with extraordinary people from all walks of life.
Welcome to our Political Prodigy series. On our last episode, you got to listen to Cadence, a 9-year-old from Ohio. On this episode, you get to listen to Joy. Joy is going to share her thoughts on this current presidency and on President-elect Joe Biden, what she thinks of how he and his administration is going to change the future. Also, she has an interesting perspective on how her life and who she is as a young Black girl is being impacted in the world today. Listen in on my conversation with Joy.
Hello.
Hello. This is Cabrina. Is this still a good time for you?
Yeah.
First, I want to thank you for your time, and we would love to know just your first name, your age, and just the state you're from. Can you tell us that, please?
Yeah. My name is Joyeuse, but most people just call me Joy. I'm 15, and I'm from Michigan.
Fantastic. Thank you. And as you know, I'm having a podcast series for young adults. I do have a few folks that are under the age of 15 that will be a part of this series as well. But you are highly recommended because of your thought process and how you see the world. So I just want to get right to it and just ask you to give me your opinion on the presidential election results.
All right. Well, when I saw the election results, I really did cry. I cried tears of happiness at first. I have a strong feeling that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will do what's necessary to help our country progress. I mean, sure, every politician has their flaws, but it's the quality of work that truly matters. I didn't only cry because of, you know, their progression, but I also cried because I finally felt listened to. When I saw the results, it's like I could, you know, take a deep breath, feel a little safer in my own country again. But that doesn't mean that the work is done. At this point, we're in the beginnings of progression, and I believe that it all starts with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Well said. And you said something that compelled me to ask you. You said you kind of felt safe again. Can you elaborate more on that? What do you mean by that?
Well, as a minority, and with all of the things going on right now, it's really hard to feel safe in your own country when you're looked at not only in the media, but all around stereotypes all the time. So it's hard to not be able to walk outside freely and feel safe. It's hard going to school and not knowing whether you'll get hurt that day or said something to.
Wow. And have you been involved in politics for a while, or has the recent events over the last 4 years drawn you in? Have you always been this aware?
Well, my mother, she is one of my biggest inspirations for me being involved in politics, but not only her. I've been really invested in politics at an early age. I have to say, from the beginnings of fourth grade, I told my mother, Mom, I want to be a lawyer. And that's exactly what I did. I'm in an early college program at my school in law and government, so I'll be done with my law degree when I'm 23.
That is fantastic. Are you going to get into corporate law, constitutional law? What's going to be your area of expertise? Do you know yet?
I have a strong feeling that I do want to do something with immigration or something with family and care, but I'm really not that sure yet. It kind of just depends on when I get there, and we're just working towards it right now.
Fair enough.
Plenty
of time to figure that out. And because, you know, you're sagacious, you're fully aware, I just want to use this platform to just ask you about a topic that you're really passionate about. For example, you brought up immigration law, but something that's going on in the world that you're really passionate about. And please talk to me about something that you're really focused on right now, or something that really hits your soul when you see it on the news or read about it.
Well, I could say that a few things really, you know, are important to me specifically. I'd say one of them is the continuous murder of minorities, the LGBT community not getting support, and the worry of the future generation. I think that people have a problem understanding issues that don't directly impact them. And, you know, when I look back on all of my life experiences, point blank period, my life matters. And my skin color shouldn't change that, and I won't settle for less rights or less appreciation because of it. To me, it's horrible seeing parents and children, brothers, sisters, these mass amounts of people die because of their skin color. And it really makes me feel like, although I was born in America, I've never been anywhere else, that I don't belong here. It took 450 years and then some, and then 2020 to be seen as equal, and we're still not there yet. So the reciprocity levels are not the same. As a Black woman in the United States, as a Black girl, I have to say that I've had to work harder for my education, and not only for my education, but for my family too. Sometimes I've cried and I've struggled to see my worth, but I'm always proud to be Black and I wouldn't change it. With this also being said, the LGBT community have felt some of that struggle also. And I may not be a part of their community, but I'm an ally to them. One of the people that are a Black supporter of the LGBT communities in the 1960s was Marsha P. Johnson. She's a Black drag queen. And she was a very good activist for the gay rights up in the 1960s rising. And there have been many, many other inspirations towards that community. And their community is suffering right now also, among other communities that are suffering. I have family members in the LGBT community, friends in the LGBT community. It doesn't directly impact me, but I want the LGBT community to understand that I know what it's like to be disenfranchised. And I will stand in solidarity with them if they stand in solidarity with me.
Well said. Because as you very well know, for years, the Black community separated themselves from that community. And the Black church and, you know, the Black culture, gay rights was not discussed at the dinner table. So it looks like this generation, your generation, is seeing other minorities that are being oppressed as well. So thank you for sharing your insight about that.
Right. Yeah. No problem.
You know, and I'd like to ask you if you, let's just say, you had the power to change one thing that's happening in the U.S., what would you change?
Well, I think the first thing is to define the state of our nation. The state of our nation is an emergency, in my opinion. I would like to say that people, in my opinion, only change in two ways, through epiphany and pain. And America right now is in enough pain through all of the protests and the tear gas and the getting shot with rubber bullets and the getting beaten to change and want to change. They rightfully deserve, America rightfully deserves right now. In seeing this, I definitely think that during Donald Trump's presidency, it didn't seem like any of that mattered, where even with the thousands of people dying during the pandemic or the racial discrimination and all of this hate, it didn't matter to him. Those moments of compassion he didn't have. There's a clear-cut thing as president, you go under oath. As police officers, you go under oath. You solemnly swear to protect and serve, solemnly swear to tell the truth, solemnly swear to help the United States no matter what. And that's, for me, that's where the state of emergency starts. That's the emergency right there, is when candidates get elected and they aren't fit for government. And that has to stop. So for me, if I could change something, I would definitely change everyone that's in office and get more younger ideas in there and people who understand what it's like to go through those issues to better for the future. It's difficult having somebody who doesn't understand and does not want to understand what it's like to have those issues. And getting people in office that are going to progress the United States and then instead of setting us back, that's what's going to matter to me. And I feel like if we put candidates in office that understand and do the work, we will not only fix one issue, we'll fix multiple issues. So I think that's what I would do to help the state of our nation.
Joy, as you were sharing your thoughts, I imagine you in a courtroom fighting for the rights of everyone. And I have one final question, and if you don't know the answer, it's okay. But I hear and I see on the news that President Trump says that he's done a lot for Black people. He's helped with employment. He's helped with releasing people that were incarcerated, that he's the best thing that happened to Black people since Abraham Lincoln. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, first, to quote Donald Trump, he said, "What to the Black community," his words were, "what do you have to lose?" That statement right there proves that everything he has said in social media is wrong. How dare you tell the Black community, what do you have to lose? We've lost everything already, and we are working and fighting to get up again. To me, I have 5 Black male young cousins who are under the age of 5. I have a nephew who just turned 8. They are the smartest children you'll ever meet. They love toys. They love gaming. One of them loves basketball. The other one loves The Incredibles. And every good parent only wants the best for their children. And I may not be a mother, but I would take whatever it has to, take to make them have a successful future. At this young, for me, I've decided that if I want to have children, then I can't live in America. Because I can't handle losing my child to discrimination or seeing my child go through what I had to go through. And it saddens me that my nation has made me feel that way. And I hope that the generation, the Gen Z, what they call us, works to make sure that a younger generation don't have to go through that. And every child, every person in the United States deserves, regardless of their race, gender, or heritage, they deserve freedom. They deserve it. And that's really what America is about. And as I said earlier, his constant act and his constant words that he says on social media really take away from what it's like to be free. If you say, grab them by the, which are his quotes, that's not freedom. If you take away money from the Black community, that's not freedom. If you purposely call out the Black community and say, what do you have to lose, as if we haven't had 450 years of slavery, that's not freedom. And he does not represent the American people anymore. And he didn't when he was in office. So I definitely feel like he hasn't done anything for the Black community. And his constant reminders of him not taking care of the Black community or taking care of the women of the Black community or women in general are constant reminder that he doesn't care. And being an office, being elected to care and not doing that as you go under oath for is a problem. And these problems could be avoided if we had more people going out to vote and more people seeing these problems and opening their eyes to issues that don't directly impact them. So that's what I pretty much think about that.
And you did not hold back. And I'm grateful for that. So thank you so much.
Yeah, you're fine.
So as we close out, do you have any final thoughts? Anything you want to say to Gen Z or to the older generation? Do you have anything on your mind that you'd like to share?
Well, personally, for me, I am a big, big activist in the community, and I would, you know, for me, I would like to say that for my generation, we need to keep fighting, because as the generations get older, they aren't going to be here anymore, and it's going to be our problem. We can't rely on our parents, even if, you know, mom and dad have different views than you. You have to have those different views to create change. It's important to have your own opinion and not follow what mom and dad say anymore, especially if you're younger. Because not everything that mom and dad say are going to be right. It's important to realize that, okay, even though I'm younger, in 4 years, I will be able to vote. And that's not a long time from now. So get educated. If I'm going to say that to the younger communities and people of my time, get educated and stop listening to those who aren't.
Well said. Well said, Joy. Well, I can't thank you enough for sharing your insight with us, and I can't wait to hear what the listeners are going to say about your point of view. Okay, so
yeah.
I want to thank you so much. I may reach out to you for part two. Would you be open to that?
Right, always, of course.
Okay, well, until then, keep fighting the good fight, and thank you for sharing your gift with the world, and we'll talk soon. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Please link me the whatever it is, the podcast or the links I can listen also and see it.
Absolutely. You'll be the first one I send it to. Have a good one.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.